What's up, everyone, and welcome back to NFL Only here on Spark Talk. And today we'll be going over week 13 of the NFL season. And Houston is, back with us for predictions. And let's jump right into them. Houston has a six game lead on me in the predictions. I rallied and got two plus on him last week, so I was able to move up from 8 to 6. So hopefully I can continue that, and I can finally beat you in predictions for 1 year.
What's my record?
Yours is 110-69-1. Mine is 104-75-1.
I was gonna say that's a lot better than a lot of other experts out there that call these games, but anyways,
most of them do it.
Start out though.
Most of them do it for entertainment and stuff, but
right. I just want to start off and say happy birthday to Wyatt. We're doing this podcast on his birthday. He's turned 22 today, so yeah. Just want to wish him a happy birthday. But yeah, let's get into it, man.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. Really appreciate it. Yeah, but yeah, let's get into it. Thursday night football. We got Cowboys, Saints. Taysom Hill was starting for the Saints, so Houston, who do you have in this one?
Yeah, I've got the Cowboys. I just can't see the Cowboys continuing to lose. I think they're too good of a team. I think they've just hit a slump. I think they've hit some injury bugs, not having, CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper on Thanksgiving Day and Dak still going off and trying to find a way to win. And Cooper's a big security blanket for him. That's the guy he always looks for when he's in trouble, right? And so not having him the last 2 weeks has been hurtful. And they played a Chiefs team who's starting to get hot. And the week before that, they destroy, and not a crap team in Atlanta, but not a great team either. And then the week before that, they lose to a really good Denver Broncos defense that just happened to catch fire during that game and have some things go their way. So I don't see the Cowboys losing again. I see them coming out on top in this game, like 27-20, really kind of putting themselves a little bit further ahead in the NFC race and trying to get back in contention for that number one seed.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to happen at this point. They had a chance a couple weeks ago, but they still have a chance depending on who loses.
Yeah. And I think I have Dallas too here, but I think one thing to look for is how Dak is playing and how the receivers are playing. Hopefully he'll have I can check it real quick here, but hopefully he'll have CeeDee Lamb back this week. We'll see. If I can spell CD right. All right, CeeDee Lamb, there we go. All right, so yeah, he'll hopefully have CeeDee Lamb back. It seems like he's a full participant in practice, which is good. I think Amari Cooper may be back as well from COVID. So they got their players back, and I think that's the thing that was hurting them was they had so many injuries these last couple of weeks that were, they were just down a man, but they were still competitive, and that's something that you look for in a good team is even if they are injured, are they competitive? Are they winning games? They didn't win games, but they were competitive, and they got some of their best players back this week, and they're going up against the Saints team that has been very lackluster since Jameis' injury and is on a 4-game losing streak right now.
Yeah.
So it's and they're putting Taysom Hill in. I'm not a big fan of Taysom Hill. There's a reason he didn't start when he was the favorite going into the season. I don't have a lot of faith in him to do too well. But I do think New Orleans defense will try to keep them in this game. But I don't see their offense really doing much to oust the Cowboys offense. But that's kind of my reasoning a little bit. But it's the Saints are just they're on a downward spin here. But to be honest, it could be good. They're going to looks like they're probably going to get maybe a top 10 pick, and then they haven't had one in a while because of Drew Brees. So maybe having a top 10 pick could do wonders. Maybe go getting another secondary player on that defense, or maybe going out and getting Cameron Jordan, but maybe going out and getting another elite pass rusher beside him. Even though Marcus Davenport's been good, he hasn't been what people thought he could be. So I think just stuff like that. But I think this, sometimes it could be blessings in disguise. We talked about this for, you know, for a couple of teams. You know, when players get injured, when star players get injured, and then, you know, they have a kind of a down year, you know, they're able to kind of build their team a little bit better. You know, and then next year they come out even better than what they were the year prior. So, I you know, sometimes it could always be, you know, a blessing in disguise a little bit. But
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but yeah, we'll move on here to the Sunday games. We get the Chicago Bears playing the Arizona Cardinals. Kyler Murray, it seems like he's still questionable. I couldn't really get, like, a good feel on, like, trying to look it up, and I didn't really get, like, an answer I wanted. But I think he's playing, I want to say. But I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pick the Bears because this game seems, I've been looking at this game all year, and I've been thinking, like, I just don't trust Arizona. And this is a game that I'm going to pick the Bears in, but I want Arizona to prove to me that they can blow out a team like Chicago. You know, that's what I want them to prove. And I just don't see that kind of like mentality in that team. Just, you know, be able to blow teams out. You know, they've had some bad performances against teams. They've gotten lucky against some teams like Minnesota early on. This team is best record in the NFL, but they don't feel like the best team in the NFL. Not by a long shot. And I think it says a lot about this team. But I think the Bears, we'll see what happens. Matt Nagy usually does his best work when his back's against the wall, but we'll see what happens here. But, you know, I've been looking at this game all year, and I've been feeling like the Bears could pull something off here.
No, absolutely. I definitely agree. I think this is going to be a close game. I think the Bears match up well with the Cardinals. I think they're physical on defense. They're going to be nasty. They have the kind of linebacker, if Kyler Murray plays, in Roquan Smith to really spy him and limit him and what he really does well. And I think the Bears secondary, you know, it's young. You know, you've got a guy like Jalen Johnson who is really an emerging star on that defense. You've got, obviously, Roquan Smith who's becoming a superstar this year. So you've got a lot of good players on this team. Robert Quinn is having a career year, like really going off. I mean, I guess he had like 18.5 sacks 1 year and then like never really lived up to that again. But yeah. But still, like, he's playing great. And I think the Bears are going to give him a run for the money. But I think at the end of the day, I really like what the Cardinals have done in the absence of Kyler Murray. Whether he's been in there, they've been amazing. Or if he hasn't been in there, they've still looked really good and really serviceable as an entire team. And I think the Cardinals come out on top probably like 24-23 on a really close game, especially with Kyler Murray coming back. I think he's supposed to be back. If he's not, I'll be kind of shocked. I think the whole plan was for him to sit out against Seattle bye week and then come back against Chicago, who is, you know, an inferior opponent to them, and then to be able to kind of get his legs under him against a team that shouldn't challenge them as much.
Yeah, and sorry if you hear this train in this background early on, but
I thought it was me. I thought I was echoing. I was like, what am I sounding like?
No, yes, the train going by. There's the horn. Yeah. I don't like going by this train here. It comes in at the weirdest times. Like, there was one time it came in at like 3 a.m. and it woke me up. I'm not happy about this train sometimes, but it's very rare that it comes this early. But yeah, we'll move on here to your team here. We got the Colts at the Texans. Keep this one a little bit short and sweet. I got the Colts. The Texans can play good. I think the Texans can keep this close. But I just don't see them beating a Colts team that's like kind of, they're hitting their stride at the moment. And I think you look at last week, that falls on Frank Wright, that loss. Just not running the football. Run the football. You're up in the game by 14, run the football. You're very effective running the football in that game. Just run the football. But I think this game can be close. It probably will be close, knowing how the Texans always like to keep it close in Houston against the Colts. But I do like the Colts in this one.
No, yeah, I agree. I like the Colts in this one as well. Yeah, last week, you know, look, there's many reasons. You had a lot of turnovers that they gave that game away to the Buccaneers when the Colts should have really dominated that game. That's three times this year. Colts have been up by double-digit points and end up losing. So there's something on this team where they have to learn to finish, and it might be too late at this point. because you've got some hard Patriots. You've got the Cardinals. You've got the Raiders coming up at the end of the season. It's going to be hard. You play in Jacksonville, where the Colts notoriously, even in the Manning years, have struggled severely. Even in the year that they went 1-5 and then end up making the playoffs at 10-6, that one loss after finishing 9-1 was to Jacksonville and Jacksonville. So there's a little bit of trouble ahead for the Colts if they don't learn to finish. And like I said, it might be too late, but I think they pick the win up. I think they end up moving on to 7-6 and continuing to place themselves in the playoff race. And we'll see if this team learns how to finish. But, yeah, I agree. I think the Texans keep it close, too.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we'll move on to – let me see here if I can X out the Colts schedule. I don't know why I pulled it up. All right, we got Tampa Bay in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Who do you have in this one? I think this one's pretty – it's gonna be pretty short.
Yeah, I won't spend too much time on it. I've got the better team. No, I'm just kidding. I've got the Buccaneers. Like, the Falcons are 5-6. You know, they're not like they're a lot better, I think, than people expected them to be. And I think that it being in Atlanta, I think their passing game will be able to take advantage of that secondary in Tampa Bay. But overall, I just think Tampa Bay is gonna overwhelm them. I think they're starting to find their stride again. They're really starting to come alive as a team again. And, like, Brady's not playing the best, but now that Gronk is back, you know, I know we're sitting here talking about Brady being the MVP, and it's like, I'm not sitting here saying he's playing terrible, but when the absence of Gronk and AB, like, Brady kind of hit a rough patch, and he didn't have a security blanket. Now he's got Gronk back, who dominated last week, and now he's got him back. You know, they've got Leonard Fournette really running the football well. So I like the Buccaneers in this one to really pull away in the second half.
Yeah, yeah, I do. I do, too. I think I don't know. I don't think this game is going to be close. If you kind of look at their first game, it was not close at all. Where is it at? Yeah, it was 48-25. And if you look at their wins this year, all of them are by single digits or a single score, and all of them are against losing record teams. That tells you a lot about this team. I don't like this team. They're in the same position as Seattle. You have a star quarterback, you know, a Pro Bowl quarterback. Top 10 quarterback, but your team is not there, and you probably need to start a rebuild and trade them while you can, and that's the thing that they need to look into this offseason. Tampa Bay is going to, I think, absolutely destroy them.
Yeah.
I think Tom Brady has not had the best couple of weeks. He's going to have a pop-up week this week and just absolutely dominate, and we're going to, like, you know, he always plays good against the Falcons, though.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, the person upstairs is doing something. Tom Brady's just going to have a dominant performance this week. But we'll move on to the Chargers at Cincinnati. Houston, who do you have?
This is going to be a good game, and I really will not be surprised if the Chargers pull this one out and get to 7-5, but I think the Bengals are kind of hot right now. I think they're really, like, I mean, 2 weeks in a row, they've dominated two solid teams. It's not like the Steelers are not a crap team. The defense is really good. And the Raiders are not a crap team, too. The Raiders are a good, solid football team. Again, capable of making the playoffs. And honestly, with that offense, the way the offense can play, of beating anybody, really, with how Derek Carr is playing this year. But anyways, I think the Bengals are too hot right now. I think the Chargers have kind of went into a rut. They started the season really, really well. And over the past several weeks, they just don't – the offense just is missing something. They don't have this explosiveness to their offense. They don't have a true running game. Austin Eckler is solid. He's a good back. But he's not a true, like, workhorse kind of back that, like, a Jonathan Taylor or a Derrick Henry or, you know, a Dalvin Cook. He's not going to be just like a true running back. He's an amazing third down back, you know, and he has ability to run. But they need somebody to be able to really establish the run game to help Herbert out. Because I feel like right now what you're seeing is a lot of stuff falling on Herbert. And you're not really seeing him able to really, like, be comfortable back in the pocket. Because I feel like he's forcing a lot of stuff right now. And so I've got the Bengals in this one. And honestly, even with it being in Cincinnati, I think the Bengals kind of handle this one pretty solidly.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Cincinnati, too. I think some of it will be that, I don't know, this one's hard. This one's a hard game for me because it's both teams that you didn't expect would be in this position. And, you know, Chargers come up with a win here. Both of them could be, like, in a position where we thought they were going to make the playoffs early on, but then not both of them not make the playoffs. But so I think one thing that the Chargers absolutely annoy me with, and it's the same thing I always fall back on, you know, Buffalo had it last year. It hurt Dallas a lot, is stopping the run. You can't stop the run. And it hurts your team. It hurts your defense because – all these teams are doing just they're going to pound the rock. They're going to waste clock. And your offense, and it's going to put Justin Herbert in situations to where he's having to force the ball because he has very minimal time to do so, to go out and score points. But also, if you look kind of look at the Chargers' point of view, Cincinnati's defense is – our pass defense is, I think, bottom 10, I want to say, in the league. Let me look at this real quick. They're bottom four. Yeah, they're bottom 10 in the league. So, like Justin Herbert can come out and, I don't know what type of game this is going to be. It just depends, I think, on how Cincinnati wants to play it. If Cincinnati wants to air it out, it's going to be a high-scoring affair. If they want to kind of run the football, we can see, like, maybe like a 21-20, 24-20 type of game, I feel like. But, yeah, I think Cincinnati is the better team right now. Mm-hmm. And I think the Chargers, you know, they're just one of those teams that are, I think, just young. And you see some of these young and young mistakes that you see from young players, you know, pop up in some of these games. Justin Herbert's throwing some interceptions here of late. I think there's going to be a couple turnovers that kind of change the tide in this game.
Okay.
We'll move on here to Minnesota at Detroit. We'll keep this one a little bit short. I got Minnesota in this one. I think Detroit's going to keep it close. I think Detroit's going to keep this game close. I just don't have faith in them to pull it out. I just want them to prove to me that they're going to win a football game.
Yeah, no, I agree. I've got the Vikings as well. I think the Vikings' offense is too good. Even without Dalvin Cook, everyone acts like Alexander Mattison is like some trash, like has been nobody that has never played football before. Like every time that Dalvin Cook has been injured, this man steps in and gets like almost 100 yards or if not more, and like is really, really effective in the run and the pass game. So I don't think they're really going to skip a beat too much. I know Dalvin Cook is special, and honestly, you could argue probably easily a top five back. You could kind of argue and depending on who you are, put him in the top three conversation. But he's definitely in that top four, the Chubbs, the Taylor, the Henry, and Cook. You know, I don't really count McCaffrey because he's been hurt so much right now. But I've got the Vikings. I don't think they skip a beat, and I think they continue to put themselves in position. I think the Vikings' offense is too good to not be in the playoffs. It's too exciting. They can offer too much in that ability, and they would honestly be, if they can push to get to a seventh seed, they can be a scary seventh seed when you really look at it. Especially like, let's just say Tampa Bay is a two seed with the secondary that Tampa Bay has, with the strength of Minnesota to be able to pass the ball. I know it's a primetime game because it'd be a playoff game, Kirk Cousins, whatever, but they would really have a serious ability to really threaten a team like that, to be able to push the ball vertically and really, have an explosive offense. And I would be excited to see them in it, but.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Minnesota's a playoff team, in my opinion. I think it just depends on how they play the Bears. You know, because if the Bears get on a little bit of a run here and they knock off Minnesota, that last game of the season is going to be so huge for both of these teams. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think Minnesota is a – I feel like their defense needs to step up at some point, you know, because the offense has so much pressure on it this year that – you know, we're starting to see some really good games, but they can't win every game. Their defense is going to let up so much points, you know, or so many points each week.
No, I absolutely agree.
Yeah, but, yeah, we'll move on here to the Giants at the Dolphins. Two teams picked up a win. Dolphins somehow, after starting 1-7 or 5-7, and it just this record looks so weird to me right now. Like, it feels like I'm, like, in a dreamland or whatever. Because I did not see this coming.
Four straight, haven't they?
I have not seen this coming. Yes, and then if you look at their freaking schedule coming up, they're if they win this game, this is their hardest game. they win this game, they have the Jets next week, they're probably going 7-7, and then they got this lonely Saints that have been injured all year the week after the Jets. Like, this team could be 8-7 with two games left to play at Tennessee, and then versus New England, the team that they got their lone win again before this win streak.
Yeah. And you look at it, like, Tennessee's hurting right now. Like, Tennessee is a team that they could easily beat. Not, I won't say easily, but they can absolutely beat because of the way they play defense, but because of what they do on offense. They could definitely beat the Titans. Mm-hmm. And then you get to 9-7, and then now you put yourself in almost a win and get in situation. Like, that would be incredible if they can somehow pull off the fact of getting to the playoffs. I agree. Like, I didn't see 5-7 in a potential shot, but like, when you look at the next two games, the Jets, and then the Saints, who are kind of reeling and not really playing as well as they were early on, it's not impossible to me.
Yeah.
To me, it goes to show Brian Flores is a great coach. Okay,
because there's very minimum talent on this team. We'll be honest about that. There's very minimum talent on this team.
But I think Tua is a good quarterback. Like, I don't think he's great, but I think if you just like you just let him develop and just let him, like, he's not gonna, like, not everybody's gonna be flipping Peyton Manning from the get go. Some people are Tom Brady's, where they take a year. Some people are Pat Mahomes. They take a year to develop. Give them some time. Like, every time they start him and then take him out, or start somebody else and then put him in to relieve, like, you don't ever let him gain any momentum or confidence in his ability to play football, especially after coming off an injury the way he did. So when you drafted him with the injury he had, you should have either said, hey, we're going to redshirt you your rookie year, trust Fitzpatrick, he's a veteran, we got a solid team, or we're going to play you. It's one of the two. And I just think it's so, like, I think they've mishandled the situation so much. Mm. And I think Tua is a fine quarterback. I think he's proven that he's good. He's been efficient. You know, he hasn't been, you know, like, wildly talented, but he's a guy that if you have the team around him can get you to the playoffs.
Yeah.
So anyways, yeah. Though.
But who do you have?
I've got the Dolphins winning this one.
Yeah, I do too. I don't think there's really much more to say on this game. I think one thing is, I think the Giants, their offense is out loud, like, just so messed up. It's so dysfunctional. Daniel Jones has a neck injury, and I want Daniel Jones out of the situation in New York because I think he's actually a good quarterback, but he gets perceived as a terrible quarterback when I don't think that's the case at all. He's put in one of the worst situations I've seen. Jones.
What'd you say?
Yeah, well, I'm just saying he's put in one of the worst situations I've seen in a while.
Yeah.
No, what were you going to say real quick before we head on to the next game?
No, yeah, I was just going to say, I see Daniel Jones kind of being like a Marcus Mariota, probably going somewhere being a backup and being a really good backup. Mm-hmm. If you had him as a backup, like, I think, you know, you have a guy that can come in and really make some plays and make some things happen. But I don't know if he ever will be. We'll see what happens with him, but yeah.
Yeah, Miami in that one.
What's up?
Yeah, Miami in that one.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Miami really starts to make some things interesting, and I ain't gonna lie. Like, I'm all for it. I like Miami. I've always been kind of a fan,
mm-hmm.
Even when I was little. Just you have Jason Taylor's, and you have you know, the Jason whole Wildcat, Taylor. And just some different things. So
yeah,
what'd you say?
So I haven't heard Jason Taylor's name in a minute. His sister's become more popular than him at the moment.
Oh, for sure, easily. Yeah. Like, not even close. But
we'll move on to Philadelphia at the Jets. I got Philadelphia in this one. I just don't trust the Jets' offense. I think Philadelphia can control the clock. The Jets have the where is it at? They have a bottom 10 run defense, and I think one thing is, I think we're going to probably see Miles Sanders' best performance this year, even though they have no idea how to use him. But I just don't trust this Jets offense enough, and Philadelphia's defense, especially their pass defense, has been phenomenal. So I think I like Philadelphia on this one. I think Philadelphia is going to try to give themselves a shot to make the postseason, and you know, I think they need this win, and I think they're going to come out and get it.
Yeah, I've got the Eagles as well. I think the Eagles probably win this one. You know, probably like 24-10 or something of that nature. Jalen Hurts is a polarizing figure, right? Like he his ability to extend plays and his ability to run and his ability to throw on the run is incredible. I really think he does an amazing job at that. But here's the thing. Robert Saleh is a smart defensive coordinator. And I know, like, you know, a couple weeks ago you had Rex Ryan kind of really ragging on him and going off on him about, like, not being, like, he's not even in the same stratosphere as himself, blah, 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 whatever. But
Rex Ryan wasn't that good of a coach. He's a great defense coordinator. He wasn't a good head coach.
Who, Rex?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I know. But anyway, I think Saleh is going to be at least aware enough to say, like, we need to keep him in the pocket. Force him to throw from the pocket. If they can force him to throw from the pocket, this game gets interesting. But, again, I think the Eagles are too good. They're in a playoff position. I didn't see this coming. I'll be honest, I really didn't. And so hats off to them. Hats off to Sirianni for being doing a really good job as a head coach this year. And I think they win this game and keep pushing on with that aspiration for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, we'll move on here to the next game. Though we have Washington at the Raiders. Who you have, Houston?
I got Washington. I think they're hot right now. They've won three in a row. You know, I think the Raiders are definitely a team that's beatable. The Raiders are a team that struggled late in the season. I know it's in Las Vegas, so that helps out. But the Raiders aren't really, like, you know, they're not really better on at home or on the road. They're just kind of like they are what they are. And I think the football team. You can't even not even just because you can't say the name, but because of the whole organization issues. Can't even say it no more, but the football team, I should say. I'll just say Washington.
Yeah.
I think Washington is really starting to hit their stride. Heineke is playing well. They're playing well on offense. The defense is really starting to heat up and play well. And I think Ron Riverboat, Geralta, Ron Rivera.
We're not going to go back to the Witcher here.
That was 2 years ago. But anyways, seriously, I think They have a chance to really push for the playoffs. I think they get to 6-6 and really start to put themselves in place to really control their own destiny moving forward. So
I agree with you. I like Washington this one. I think the main thing is who's going to control the game, or who do you trust more to control the game? Do you trust a Washington and them being able to run the football and play, you know, very slow tempo like we've seen against Tampa Bay and we've seen against Seattle last week? Or do you trust the Raiders' passing offense and passing attack to go up against Washington, who's been very lackluster in that category this year? I trust Washington. What I've seen lately from them, I trust them a little bit more. But this game's going to be close. This game's going to be a nail-biter. And it's a huge game, too, because both teams, Raiders 6-5, Washington's 5-6. You know, Washington, if Dallas wins Thursday, or wins today, actually, well, it's Thursday today, but, you know, they need to get a win here because they're two games behind them. They haven't played Dallas this year. You know, they're in prime spot. They control their own fate. And
yeah,
they're in prime spot to take control of the NFC East, but they need to get this win here. They've been getting wins that they need in close games in the last couple of weeks, but they need to get a win here. They need to get a win against a potential playoff team. And I think they can do it. I think they can do it. I think we're going to see a huge game from Antonio Gibson. I think Taylor Heineke, I've been talking about this, they need to play fearless. And I think Taylor Heineke is going to play fearless in this game. And I think, I just really like Washington. I really like watching Washington play. So they're a really fun team to watch. They just play hard. They play hard football. But, yeah, I'm going with Washington in this one over the Raiders. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Raiders. It's a flip of a coin here, this one. But we'll move on to Jaguars at the Rams. And I'm just going to keep this one short and sweet. I think the Rams are going to get their first win in three matchups. You know, this is a game that you get back on track, and you know you've hit a little bit of a slide. Now you face a team that is not that good, and you can kind of, you know, get back into a rhythm of how you play your game. And I think Sean McVay, hopefully he's had his ego checked. If he hasn't, this team is doomed. All right. just be simple and have a simple game plan. He wants to do all this freaking stupid stuff.
Well, I think they got to become more of a physical team. I think they're too finesse. Like,
that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Look at the teams that beat them, like the Titans. The Titans are, I'm going to punch you in the face, and I'm going to continue to step on your throat until I win. The 49ers are the same way. And the Shanahan, McVay, they come from the same system, yet McVay doesn't have that kind of toughness that Shanahan brings to the game. And I think if they bring an element of toughness that they actually have, Henderson's a tough runner. They've got a solid O-line. They've got a tough defense. Like, bring toughness to the table, you start to become, in my opinion, the best team in the NFL because they have the talent to do so. But the fact that they're reeling, the fact that they've lost three, is it three in a row, right?
Yeah.
The fact that you've lost three in a row, and in the fashion that they've lost, blown out to the Titans, blown out to the 49ers, and manhandled against the Packers. Like, come on. And I know those are not scrub teams. Like, those are all three potential playoff teams, and, you know, a couple of them, you know, have potential Super Bowl caliber seasons to themselves. And I would say watch out for the 49ers. That's a team I say continue to watch out for. I think they are just really hitting a stride, and they're dangerous right now, really, really dangerous. But, yeah, this is a get-back game for them. I think they get to 8-4. I think this is a build-momentum game. Get yourself back in rhythm and move forward next week, continuing to get better and chip away at trying to either win the division or, again, just take hold of that number one wild card spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I agree with you. So you got the right Rams in this one, though?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got the Rams. All right, so, yeah, we'll move on here to one of my favorite rivalries that I love watching each year, the Ravens at the Steelers.
Yep.
Who do you have, Houston?
Excuse me, I was taking a drink.
Ravens and Steelers.
I've got the Ravens.
The Ravens.
I think the Ravens, despite all their deficiencies, despite the issues that they have, despite the injuries that they have incurred throughout the season, I am just like, it's just the way they continue to win. They find a way to win. And sometimes, like, when you win a Super Bowl, sometimes when you make a playoff run, all it takes is finding a way to win. It doesn't matter if you throw four interceptions, Lamar Jackson. I'm sure you want to play better, but you got the W. And you continue to put your rival, the Browns, out of the playoff picture. I mean, like, you find a way to win, and it doesn't matter. They're sitting right now at 8-3. I think they get to 9-3. And you put yourself in a position to be in Baltimore for the playoffs, you really increase your chances of moving on to the Super Bowl. Because I think they play extremely well in Baltimore. The defense is really starting to pick up, in my opinion. I hope that the secondary kind of really starts to find their groove again, because it's a good secondary. It's not bad. I don't know why they've been playing so bad. I know they've had some injuries. The front seven is nasty. Adafe Owe, I mean, formerly Jason Owe from Penn State, is balling out as a rookie. A guy that I thought was raw has really developed and turned into a really, really good player for them. I like the Ravens in this one, and the Steelers I just don't believe in. I just don't.
Yeah, I'm trying to look up, like, did he change his name, or?
Who?
Did he change his name?
Yeah, Odafe Owe, it's the same guy.
I don't understand, like, that, to me, it's, I don't know, it's not good marketing, because then it gets confusing, and, like, they picked up this dude Jason Owe, and then I'm, like, looking, I was like, that same last name, same player looks like, different first name, and I'm like, this is the same dude, but I was like, did he, like, change his name or not, or I don't know, but it's not a good marketing
strategy. It's Odafe Jason Owe, so I guess he just went by Jason, and then he probably just went by Jason the whole time in college, and, like, a lot of people, like, don't ever correct somebody because they're, like, afraid to get in trouble. Like, oh, I actually want to go by Odafe, and then he gets to the NFL, and they ask him, and he's like, no, I'd rather go by my first name, Odafe, so.
Yeah.
Because just like, Bobby Okereke, you know, it was freaking Okereke, and then he'd never changed it. No, he'd never told anybody. It's like, no, like, it's fine. Then somebody was like, it's Okereke, right? And he was like, no, it's Okereke. And it's like, really?
Yeah.
He's like, did you change it? And he's like, no, it's always been that. People just call me Okereke. So, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I got Baltimore in this one, too. Once they need to look at, Steelers are the second worst rushing defense in the league. You know, and Ravens have the best rushing offense in the league. So, that's all you have to look at. look at that stat, and I think it's just, they're just going to control the game. You know, Steelers and Ravens are always going to be close. I'll be surprised if the Ravens actually blow them out, but I think the Ravens have this one. I think a lot of it will be due to the run game. But we'll move on here to San Francisco at Seattle. Keep this one a little bit short and sweet. Seattle's going to keep this close. All right? People don't understand. Seattle's run defense, one of the best in the league, but their pass defense is absolute garbage. If you look at San Francisco, what have they been winning on? Their run game. What have they not been winning on? Jimmy Garoppolo, they've been minimizing him. I don't think he's thrown over 20 passes. And I need to look it up in like the last 3 weeks. All right?
Yeah.
This game's going to be on his shoulders. All right? They're going to stack the box. They're going to stop this run game. The question is, do I trust Jimmy G to go out and win them the game? I think he can, especially with how much this Seattle offense has sputtered out of control. But don't be surprised if Seattle pulls off a win here. They match up so well against San Francisco that don't be surprised if they pull off a win. That's the reason they keep beating them and these last couple of years. That's why during 49ers Super Bowl run, you know, that's why they had those close games against them, because they match up so well against them. But who do you have in this
Absolutely.
One?
Absolutely. No, I've got the 49ers, and I agree. I think the Seahawks keep it close. I mean, shoot, the Seahawks won the first time, which I know it was like the whole Trey Lance coming in kind of thing and mixing up. But even Kyle Shanahan said it was – he doesn't realize how hard it is to, you know, bring in two different quarterbacks, because then you never get a feel for what the defense is doing, because they play so differently to each quarterback. And so you never get a rhythm on offense. And so I think they found that rhythm. I think – you know, I mean, you could argue the Colts are the hottest team in the NFL. I mean, with the way they played two of the best teams and even losing. But I think the hottest team right now is the 49ers. They're sitting at 6-5, have a chance to get to 7-5, and really, you know, start to really put the beginning of that season behind them. Starting what? They started 2-4 and or 2-5 and have really just went on a roll lately. And I think the way they're playing football, the physicality they're bringing, the defense is continuing to play better. Jimmy G is starting to continue to gain confidence. The running game is, I mean, like, they're looking phenomenal. They're the kind of team that can catch fire right now, and when they get in the playoffs, could really challenge a lot of teams, because they match up so well against so many teams because of the way that they play football. And so I've got the 49ers winning this one, avenging the loss from earlier in the season.
No, they actually beat them, or did they beat them?
Now the Seahawks beat him. Remember, Russell Wilson had some crazy throw.
I was looking at Seattle's schedule. I was like, I thought I was looking at San Francisco's. I was like, it looks like they got a win against Seattle. But no, yeah, I was like, I do remember that game. That's why I was like confused there for a second. I was like, I remember Seattle winning, but it says differently. I don't know, but I was looking at Seattle's schedule. They won for that. But yeah, you ready to move on to Sunday Night Football? We had Denver, Kansas City. I think Denver is like first and only primetime game of the season, besides their one Thursday night game a year. I got Denver in this one. I have Denver beating Kansas City. I think a lot of it has to do with the run game. I think Denver has a better quarterback this year. You know,
what did you just say?
I got Denver over Kansas City.
No, what did you just say? Denver has a better quarterback?
No. Well, right now they do over what they had last year.
I thought you meant over, like, better than Patrick Mahomes. I was like,
oh, no, I still question about Mahomes' ability sometimes. But it's – but Denver, I think they have a recipe to beat them. You know, they have a good pass rush when healthy. They have, you know, a good secondary. They get a great defensive mind. You know, they played them close. People don't realize that. They played them close, you know, the last couple of years. They just haven't had the quarterback to pull out the win. Teddy Bridgewater is a lot better than the other quarterbacks. Yes, Teddy Bridgewater, you know, he doesn't have the Patrick Mahomes type of arm and ability, but he can go out there and win you football games. And I think one thing is they run the football so effectively. You know, the Chargers, really bad run defense. They were the worst run defense in the NFL for a while until they played Pittsburgh, and then Pittsburgh kind of helped their statistics out a little bit. But Kansas City's up there, too. I think they're third or second in run defense. They're fifth. They're right behind the Chargers, and worst run defense in the NFL. All right. So I think Denver's going to run the football. I think Melvin Gordon, I think Javonte Williams are going to have massive football games. And, you know, this is a nine line if this is actually true from what ESPN's looking at. I would bet that Denver would lose less than nine here.
A 9.5 line I think is too much. But I've got the Chiefs in this one. I think the Chiefs are kind of starting to find their groove, especially offensively. Like, defensively, like, you know, once it gets colder, like, Steve Spagnuolo is a great coach, and he really understands, like, his deficiencies. Like we talked about earlier in the season, Chris Jones moving back inside is huge, huge, huge for their defense. And the fact that he's not playing on the edge anymore just means that they have their best player doing what he does best, which is disrupting the interior. And, I mean, you saw last week what he did – or not last week, the week before, when they played the Cowboys. I mean, like, you saw him disrupt like crazy against a good offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's going to take advantage of some things. I think he's going to have a big game. I think it stays close. I agree. I think Denver challenges them. But and I know, look, and I say this, Kansas City plays worse at home. They're one of those teams that they honestly probably would rather play on the road. They just have some kind of, like, chip on their shoulder when they play on the road, play a little bit better, a little bit tougher. I think they get a little bit lax at home sometimes. But I see this being, like, 23-20. I see the Chiefs, you know, again, finding their groove on offense. They're being a lot more patient. They're not trying to hit the explosive play every single time they take a snap. They're really trying to, like, play within the offense and be smarter and not turn the ball over. And I've got the Chiefs winning this one. And here's the crazy thing. As much as we all talked about the Chiefs not making the playoffs, I think the Chiefs end up being the number one seed in the AFC. I don't see them. And let me look at their schedule real quick. But they get to 8. I know you picked the Broncos, but if I have them beat the Broncos, they get to 8-4. Then they play the Chiefs. Or my bad, that makes no sense. Then they play the Raiders at home. I say win 9-4. The Chargers, they play on the road again. Like I talked about, they play better on the road, and they lost to them earlier. They're not going to lose to the Chargers twice. 10-4. You play the Steelers. That's 11-4. You play the Bengals. That'll be a hard one in Cincinnati, but I think they can pull it out. And then you play the Broncos again at home. This team could end up 13-4 after starting so abysmal and almost looking like not even just like, oh, they might make the playoffs, but like they're not even good enough to make the playoffs to potentially be in the number one seed. Now, to me, that's just – it just shows you like how talented they are, that they can flip that switch. And that I think they had a humbling kind of experience with the Rams, kind of like you talked about with the Rams. – I think they kind of had a humbling experience earlier in the season, and and I think, hey, sometimes you have to. Sometimes, hey, we're not as good as we thought we were. We're not going to go 20-0 this year like we thought we were. We're not as good or as great as everyone keeps saying we are on paper. We got to figure it out and actually get ourselves better. And I think they've done it. I have to tip my hat to them. You know, I love Andy Reid. I think he's an amazing coach. You know, outside of Mahomes' like brother and his wife or fiance or whatever being annoying, like I don't, you know, I like Mahomes, I like Kelsey, like you know, I like a lot of their guys on their team, and so it's good to see them starting to figure things out, and I just think they're gonna start catching fire.
Yeah, no, I disagree. I like Denver in this one.
I know you do.
I like Denver in this one. But you know, yeah, we'll move on here to Monday Night Football. We get the Patriots against the Bills.
Annual
Monday night game.
Who you got? I want you to go first. Who do you got?
They're in New England in this one, man.
Ooh, okay.
It's no question.
On the
man.
Road? On
it's
the
no
road
question.
In Buffalo?
It's no question. 5-0 on the road this year. If you look at their road games, beat Atlanta 25-0, beat Carolina 24-6. Chargers, the scores that indicate that, they were up 27-10 in that game against the Chargers. And Chargers like just had like some garbage time touchdowns. If you go to the Texans, 25-22, that was their closest road game. And then you go to the Jets, 25-6. So they're amazing on the road. They're amazing. If you just look at their stretch, they're winning by, I think I calculated, but they're winning by like 25 points per game during this win streak that they're on. That's impressive. And you look at the freaking Bills here. They've been switching off wins and losses here in the last six games. They have a loss, a win, a loss, a win, a loss, a win. And the weird thing is, they lose by a little bit. They blow out a team. They lose by a little bit. They blow out a team. They got blown out by the Colts, and then they blow out the Saints. So I don't see them winning this game. If you kind of just look at their recent record, they're on track to lose this game by like 40 points. So yeah,
to get blown out.
Yeah, but yeah, I like New England this game though. But I just, for me, it falls down to New England doesn't have a really good run defense, and I think that's always been a struggle with Bill Belichick's defense, is not being able to stop the run effectively and efficiently. But Buffalo hates to run the football. But Buffalo seems to be allergic to running the football. It's absolutely annoying.
I don't know why they wouldn't be a team to sign Peterson or Le'Veon Bell, or I mean, they could have signed Latavius Murray. They could have signed Devontae Freeman. Like, they could have gotten all of these guys, especially Latavius Murray, who, it's not like he's been out of football. Like, he literally has been an effective backup running back. You could have brought him in. He would have fit perfectly into what you want to do, bruising, running the football, being physical, and they didn't want to do that. So
yeah, it's annoying. It's really annoying. But yeah, I got New England this night. I think they're just a better football team at the moment.
I've got to go with the Bills, man. Like, maybe it's just like my gut telling me. Maybe I'm just like wanting to go against the crowd. But I know everybody's picking New England. But man, like, I just don't see the I think the Patriots take advantage of the Bills in New England in 2 weeks or in 3 weeks whenever they play. I know they get like a bye week in between there, but in 3 weeks or so whenever they play again. So I think it's because it's like they go Bills, Titans, bye, Colts, Bills. So the Patriots have a hard stretch coming up, and I think they play the Titans. Oh, that's right. No, it's Bills. Bye, Colts, Bills. So it is in 3 weeks that they play, because they played the Titans last week and dominated. I've got to go with the Bills. I think it's going to be a close game, but there's just something about when the Bills offense, when Josh Allen's able to click and get outside the pocket and really make things happen. I mean, there is very much a Patrick Mahomes-esque ability and quality to what they do. There's very much a Chiefs quality to what the Bills do on offense. Very, like, out of rhythm, like, out of the pocket, out of the play design, like, making stuff up, backyard football that really gets them to be explosive and open up things. And I know the Patriots secondary, this defense has been – I mean, this has been the best defense in football. Let's just be honest. Like, they've been absolutely stellar and incredible. But I just got to go with the Bills at home in Buffalo. I don't think the Bills can lose and get blown out again in Buffalo and really be – and feel confident in themselves, let alone have anybody else have confidence in them as a true playoff team. And then you fall to 7-5.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't see the Bills doing that. And I think the Patriots in at 8-5 is much more manageable, because then they play the Colts, who they can very well beat. And then you play the Bills again at home, which, again, you can pick up two wins there and get to 10-5, and then – you're kind of sitting pretty for the playoffs. But I think the Bills, this is more of a must-win for the Bills than it is the Patriots, and I think the Bills come out on top.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll see how it goes. But, you know, we have a good enough games to where I can catch back up this week if I have a really good week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the one at least you'll get wrong is going to be the Bears, but no offense.
Yeah, no, I've been looking at that game the whole year. I'm just like, I have the Bears. I really feel good about the Bears in this matchup. So I'm still going with my team. I know. But at this point in the season, I have the Bears going like 15-0 or whatever with how many times I picked them. But yeah. But thank you all again for listening. Make sure to, like, share, comment. I'm trying to make the podcast better. I hope you like Nick coming on, yesterday and doing the podcast with me. I appreciate him coming on. But.
Yeah, they did a great job.
Yeah, and I think go follow our Twitter at Spark Talk 2. Make sure to follow Instagram at Spark Talk. Make sure to follow Houston at Varsity Ginger 55 on Instagram. Make sure to follow me at _Sparky_4. And But thank you all again for listening. I'll let you do the outro, Houston.
Yeah, we appreciate you guys listening. Again, Wyatt, just want to wish him a happy birthday. Turned 22 today. And yeah, man. And just hope you guys have a great weekend coming up. And enjoy some football. Enjoy some time with your families and everything like that. But until next time, y'all. Peace.
See you.